You are my delight. You are my joy. Everything I did for you. You are the apple of my eye. You are engraved on the palm of my hand. How could I forsake you? How could I forsake you? You may at times forget me, saith the Lord, but how could I ever forget you? Everything is for your sake. Who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is Christ that has redeemed us. Who shall bring the charge of anything against God's elect? Father, I just thank you by your Spirit now. Just minister your love, your grace, your cleansing, your strength. And Father, yes, sir. Father, all we know to do is keep forgetting those things that are behind. Lord, we just want to keep pressing towards the mark. What has been is not what shall be. A day will come, Lord, when your victory will not just be positional, but we'll be walking in that truth, Father. The enemy will no more hurt nor destroy nor do any harm in your garden. Father, we pray that your will be done on earth just exactly like it is in heaven. Oh, we love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we worship and adore you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. Phone dusted. Y'all have heard the phrase, be instant in season and out. I was totally going a different way than what I had prepared. So go to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. Y'all tell that the Lord tonight is interested in you being secure in who you are in Christ. You know, and in the days to come, as we, in every realm of life, all of the true prophets that I know of around the land, and I know of, I don't know personally very many of them, but almost with one voice, they're all declaring that soon, the world is coming into a period of difficulty and darkness that's pretty much unprecedented. And even through Pastor Dave, you know, he's been giving us those warnings about, I wouldn't be so concerned about Y2K as I would be about the weather patterns changing and that sort of thing. And then a lot of these prophecies, and they speak about great upheavals in the financial system, not just in the United States, but it's like a global thing. And things that have worked in the past financially are not necessarily going to work so well in the future. And this does, he may still yet blend in part of that message because it does go along with this. More and more I'm convinced that in order to survive, and not only survive, but triumph during what's coming, the foundation that our feet must be solidly planted upon is our own sonship. You're going to have to know who you are. You're going to have to quit letting the devil and people and your own, self-expectations when you fall short of that. You're going to have to quit letting that buffet you and condemn you. Why? Well, because when you're like that, most people just won't run to him. And the devil buffets you with condemnation and based on your performance, getting you thinking that you're so unworthy and that the Father is somehow Now he doesn't love you anymore, doesn't love you as much or something. And if he can get you thinking like that, and then we get into really difficult times, where are you going to go if you can't go to your Father to get what you need? Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. We're going to look at the temptations. You know, Dave has taught us extremely well when it comes to Jesus being the second man, the last Adam. And he overcame where the first Adam fell, did he not? And he says, if you want to really understand the temptations that came against the first Adam, you'd do well to see how the devil came against the second one, Jesus Christ. Now, something that I didn't realize until just a few months ago. Okay, let me put it, yes, sir. Now, Jesus, the second man, the last Adam, when he faced his temptation, he wasn't facing one of those wicked spirits in the heavenlies. It wasn't a ruler of darkness. It wasn't a power, not even a principality. He was facing the prince of darkness himself. Satan threw the best that he had. Don't you know that? And I want you to notice something you may not have ever seen before. Out of these three temptations, two of them directly attack the foundation of Jesus' own sonship. The devil was trying to undermine his sonship, his security in who he was. And if he can do that with you, and he'll use the same tactic which we're going to expose here tonight, if he can do that with you, your foundation will start to crumble. And you'll start getting on shaky ground, and then you can be blown around by every wind of doctrine. All right, now let's watch this. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, now notice this, what is the devil attacking? If thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. All right, let's just keep reading. Can you see that he is directly attacking the sonship of Jesus Christ? All right. Verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Everyone say out loud, amen. Hallelujah. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, here it is again. Now notice, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And you might as well know he'll depart from you for a season. And then he'll be back to see if you still have your feet on the foundation of sonship. Now, for years I tried to unravel this, and there's just tons of things in that passage that we could teach on, specifically about the, you know, making bread, commanding the stones to be made into bread. There's a lot of things we can teach out of there. There's a lot of lessons, but that's not the point. There's also a lot of things we could teach about that other temptation where he said, climb up on top of the temple and jump off, the angels will save you, you know, tempting Jesus to commit suicide. And it was a long time. It wasn't until just a few months ago that the Spirit of the Lord showed me the root of what was going on here. Because the devil could have come with a lot of temptations like that. Here's what he was really after. He was trying to get Jesus to do something to prove he was a son. Listen, power and authority does not come by your performance trying to please your Father. Power and authority comes from resting in your sonship and who you are in Christ. And that's exactly what the devil was trying to move Jesus off of that revelation. One thing Jesus knew, God is my Father. I and my Father are one. I am from above and you are from below, but I am born of my Father. That's the thing he knew, and the devil knew that if he could not move him off of that, he was hopeless. He was helpless. Now, once we start understanding, I thank God for Dave taking us down the born-again trail. And if we can ever get the revelation that we are God's sons by grace alone, the fact that the finished work of Jesus Christ is enough, and that when you received him, you passed from death to life, and the adoption process come to completion in our dispensation, as someday we're going to get a glorified body, but in the spirit, you passed from being a son of Adam to being a son of Jesus Christ, if you will, son of the Father. Jesus is the second man, the last Adam. Your spiritual daddy is not Adam anymore. You have been spawned from the spiritual loins of the second man, the last Adam. You are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, forever! It's got nothing to do with your works. It's got nothing to do with your performance. It's free. It's by grace. You're in! You made it! Rejoice! Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The devil starts getting you into performance to prove who you are. You just stand there and say, I'll just rejoice that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My works spring out of my sonship. I don't do my works to prove I am a son. Now let me just ask you, what works could I do to prove I am the son of O.R. Carpenter? How did I become the son of O.R. Carpenter? That's my earthly dad. Did I have anything to do with that? Was it my idea? Was that all based on my father and my mother's works and not my own? Can you understand where I'm coming from here? I mean, it's by their decision and by their action that I stand here tonight a son of O.R. and Lillian Carpenter. Amen? Now, what works could I do to prove that to you? I could show you my driver's license. Could be a forgery. I could show you my birth certificate. Could be a forgery. I could say, well, the older I get, the more I look like my dad. You know, I could try and base it on something like that. But nothing changes the fact I am their son based on their work and not my own. You are God's child based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't you ever forget it. The blood of Jesus Christ is enough. That's why Hatak Sindelefrasus Manditi Kisto Sarandele Frokusha Mandite. Where we're going in worship now, I'm just telling you by the Spirit, because I haven't discussed it with Dave. That's worship in spirit and truth. That whole business there is to develop your knowledge. Develop your own revelation of your own sonship. As Dave leads us and as the worship team leads us into true worship that proceeds out of that new nature, every time we make it in there, every time we get in there just a little bit more, and that revelation dawns, You are my Father. I really am your child. I've made it. I passed from death to life already. I'm in the Beloved. I'm accepted. You really do love me. And you've already received me. And as we get in there in that kind of worship, where it's really, see, for years, I have to preface this part because I know everyone was not fortunate enough on earth to have a good earthly daddy, a good role model. I had one. Not perfect. He still isn't. Neither is his son. But compared to most, I had an excellent father. Now, to the point that, my father is taller than me. He's bigger than me. But my dad will be 80 this December. He's still, he's like that song, broad at the shoulder, near at the hip. Nobody don't give no lip to O.R. He'll be 80 in December, and to this day, he can outrun me, outfight me, and outwork me. I swear he's going to outlive us all, and that's a good thing. And my dad, although he had some flaws, who doesn't? My dad was a good Baptist daddy all my life. Gave me good role model. He was honest to a fault. Good provider. Good worker. A man's man. Now, to the point, though, that I almost put my daddy, well, I didn't almost, I put my daddy up too high on a pedestal. And I got almost into worship. I so wanted to be like him. And I so wanted to please him. Now, my dad is just a very gifted man. He only has an 8th grade education. But yet, with that, he has done more with it in his life than most people do with a college education. He had to quit in the 8th grade to go to work. Help with the farm, that family business I've been teaching y'all about. He's one of them boys. Okay? When he got into business for himself, he did well. And just to be plainly honest with you, I don't have his level of IQ, and I don't have his level of physical strength, and I don't have his level of character in a lot of ways. Now, always where I... how do I put this? You're going to see the tie-in here in a minute. For decades after I left home, my relationship with my father was somewhat strained. My earthly father. It's not that, when I'd go home, they'd treat me nice. It wasn't like that, but it's just distance. It wasn't as close as it should have been. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know why that was? Well, because I so wanted to measure up in his eyes that somehow I got over into being performance-minded when it came to my relationship with him. I just always had this feeling he didn't quite approve of me. Can anyone, any males especially, relate to what I'm talking about? So when I'd go visit him, it was always, I felt this little, there was kind of a distance. Come to find out, as I realized later, it was a wall pretty much of my own making. Because I was like that elder son in the story of the prodigal son. I was basing my relationship with my father on my performance, instead of our real relationship. Somehow we tend to confuse performance with love. We get them mixed up. We'll hear some good messages on grace and how it's all free and you can't earn it, you can't work for it no matter what you do. And for a little while we're okay, but boy, the natural human tendency is to slip back into works, isn't it? And pretty soon the devil's beating you about the neck and shoulders because you're not doing this quite right. You're not doing that quite right. You prayed 6 hours today, but you should have prayed 7. And that's kind of the way I was with my father. It seemed like no matter what I did, and it wasn't so much him saying things to me. It was just in my own eyes, I was never measure up. See? I thank God I live long enough to cross the 50-year barrier. Everyone say thank God for that. I'm 52 today. Now see, I didn't mind 50. I figure, what's 49? I mean, that's nothing. 49. 50. Half a century on the planet. Now I can call all the rest of you pups. You know? You know? The first 50 down, 50 or more to go, you know. Pretty not bad for the first 50. But as I crossed, something began to happen in my understanding as I crossed that 50-year mark. And, you know, I have three children of my own. I want them to know that I love them because I love them. And because they're my children. Do they always please me perfectly? No. Does that affect my love? No. I finally began to understand that about my earthly father. You know when my father started loving me? The day he found out I was in my mother's womb. From that day, sight unseen, before he ever saw me, he loved me. How long has your heavenly father loved you? He's known you, the Bible says, since before the foundations of the world. You were conceived in him millennia ago, and he has loved you that long, before you were ever even out here to do any performance, good or bad. As I began to understand that about my earthly father, and when we'd get together, it wasn't any more me trying to boast and show him everything I was doing and how I was such a good husband and how I was such a good provider and how I was running the business and how I was doing that. And Father, please don't you love me because of what I'm doing? Although I wouldn't say it like that. Looking back on it now, that's really what I was doing. Please look at everything I'm doing, trying to be like you. Please accept me by my performance. And, you know, it's bad enough when you compare yourself with your earthly father. But when you start judging your performance up against the Lord Jesus Christ, the elder brother, now we're supposed to press towards that mark, are we not? But listen, your acceptance in the beloved is never based on that. You get greater levels of ministry based on that. Greater levels of authority based on that. But that never changes his love for you. As I started to understand these things and understand that you know how my father feels about me? I'm his son. I've been his son since the beginning. I'm talking about my earthly father. You know what else he thinks about me? I'm his heir. I'm the one that's carried on the family name. I am his beloved son. And I am his heir. Now, is that good stuff or what? How do you think your father feels about you? Heavenly Father. Well, just to get a clue how he feels about you, how does he feel about Jesus? Turn to John 17. Now see, if this wasn't in the Bible, I'd never believe it. I would never believe this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I can just find it, we'll be doing good. Yeah, there it is. Nope, that's not it. Hallelujah. We may have to read the whole chapter. It'd be good for us anyway. Because I know it's in there. Well, let me ask you. Do y'all think the Father loves his Son, Jesus Christ? How much do you think he loves him? Bunches? Like my granddaughter would say. Gobs, you know, hold her arms out real wide. The whole bunches. Whole bunches, Grandpa. You know? See, Jesus prayed some astounding things in this prayer. And I wish I could find just that one part here. Hang on just a minute. 23, thank you. Yes, there it is. This, I would never believe this. If this wasn't in my Bible in red letters, and I have to look on the spine, King James, yes, I would never believe this. And our problem is, even though it's in there, we have a hard time believing this. But can Jesus lie? I'm asking you for the tape's sake. Can Jesus lie?
No.
Look what he says here. This is all too good. Back up to verse 22. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now that right there makes your head tilt. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, now get this, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? Now let's say it a little, we're going to say exactly the same thing a little different way, because I want it to just rattle your brain. You need to leave here with this thought just leading you everywhere you go. Now here's the way he said it. That they may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now say this after me. The world is going to know that the Father loves me. Just like he loves Jesus. Now let's say it a little different way. I am going to know that the Father loves me. Just like he loves Jesus. All right, let's say it a little different way. I'm moving you up the scale if you can't tell. First it was the world knowing. Then it was you going to know. Now say it with me like this. I know that the Father loves me. Just like he loves Jesus. Now we're going to go one step higher. Look towards heaven. Father.
I believe.
And I receive.
You love me.
Just like you love Jesus.
I am your child.
You are my Father.
I rejoice.
In your love.
For me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the kind of worship where we're going to go. And I'm telling you now, that's the purpose. That's the end. Well, there's a lot of purposes. One reason is to bring joy to the Father's heart. But I'm telling you, I can see what's coming. Part of it is to put such a bedrock underneath our feet, a foundation so strong that when the devil comes and he says, how can you be called a son of God? How could you be called a child of God? If you really want to be, if you want to prove you're a child of God, then get into this and get into that and start doing this and start doing that. And pretty soon he'll be leading you around by the nose into so many works, you won't even have time to pray anymore. You won't have time to worship anymore. You won't have time to really bring joy to your Father's heart, which is just go spend some time with him. Let him equip you. Don't have to get into any works. Lord, some of the best ministries in the land, they can tell you about decades lost. Getting involved in all kinds of works and, you know, it almost gets to be like a driven thing. See, the devil drives, you know. I got to preach one. I can squeeze in one more meeting. I can do one. We can do this and we can do that and you know, I can fly over there and I can fly over there and I can, and then, you know, and all the time you're doing that, the devil's already removed your foundation. Now it's one thing if those things are being produced out of your fellowship with your Father, and he has equipped you and strengthened you and that's his call and that's what he's having you do. Oh, it's a whole other thing to start getting into a works mentality. Even on this stewardship stuff, you guys, you can't get into works with that. It's the Father in us that's doing the works. We haven't really even got to talk about that much yet. You know when Jesus said that? He says, now this is hard for your noodle. I'm telling you now. Now, is this what Jesus said or not? The Son of Himself can do nothing. Ain't that what He said? The Father in me, He it is who does the works. Now, see, you've heard that ever since you started off in that Baptist Sunday school class, haven't you? But now listen to what He said. I'm going to say it exactly the same thing, a different way, because it's going to hit you a little different now. Now, the way He said it, the Son of Himself can do nothing. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works, right? All right, now say it like this, or you might think it's blasphemy. Just listen to me say it. Okay, the Son of Himself can do nothing. Who is that? Who is the Son there? Jesus. Jesus can do nothing. Drop your prophet rocks. What did He say? The Son of Himself can do nothing. Jesus Himself can't cast out devils. Jesus Himself cannot heal. Jesus Himself cannot turn water into wine. Quiet in here now. But if we don't understand what He's talking about, we're never going to operate in those things either. What did He say? The Son of Himself can do nothing. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Now, that means that every time a miracle... Now, Jesus, we see Him doing all those things, do we not? Casting out devils, walking on water, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. But in every single case, what did He say? I'm not doing this. Not me myself. It's the Father in me. He's doing the works. Now listen, you gospel entrepreneurs, you think it's going to be any different when it comes to the transfer of wealth? You're not going to be able to do this. You of yourself can do nothing. And if His call for your life is to transfer wealth through you, it's Him doing it, honey. You ain't such a hot rod. You know what your job really is? Button pusher. Lever puller. He says, do this. Press that button. Okay. Pull that lever. Okay. Translation. Buy that stock. 2:00, Tuesday. Sell it. 4:00, Wednesday. Can you handle that complicated instruction there? Yeah. And in that process, the Father, He may transfer $1 million. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And the neat part is, you get the reward for it. When you get to heaven. Because you let the Father do the works through you. Our part is so simple. But that comes again from the revelation of sonship. I mean, that takes all the pressure off of you, doesn't it? It's the Father doing the works. Can you heal anybody? Which one of you think you has that... I'm not talking about gifts and in His name. Which of you born with the ability to lay your hands on somebody and get them healed? No way. Is it the Father in you if that happens? That spirit of life that came from the second man, the last Adam, that you were born again with the second time? It's the Father working through that life, is it not, by the power of the Holy Spirit? You yourself, your old natural self, you can't do it, can you? It's Him doing the work. You're just the son or the daughter who He says, be here at such and such a time. There's going to be such and such a person. I want you to do this when they get there, and I'll do the work through you. How tough is this? That takes all of the performance out of it. You can't perform it anyhow. Can't perform it anyhow. Brad? I always speak on Brad because Brad really loves me. If you yourself could put $10 million into the gospel, wouldn't you have done it by now? I want to make sure everybody understands. Y'all know Brad. Mr. Adornophobia. Stand up. Let me see how pretty you are. How handsome. I'm sorry, Elaine. How handsome he is. How handsome he is. Now look. I know his heart. We pray together, and I know what he is. I know what his vision is. When I say 10 million, that's small potatoes for his vision. But I see you're going to have to come to one of two conclusions. If Brad's really able to do that, I mean Brad himself, then aren't y'all a little upset with that Brad's been holding out on Pastor Dave all this time? Youth group, aren't you upset that you're still having to have bake sales and car washes because Brad is holding out? I mean, he has this ability. No, he doesn't. And that's the whole point. None of us do. We're all sons and daughters. But listen, anything that gets done, it's the Father in us doing the work. Make any difference whether it's opening a blind eye, opening blind eyes, healing the sick, casting out devils, or transferring millions. It's the Father in us doing the work. We are accepted in the Beloved. We're sons and daughters as we fellowship with Him. He just reinforces how much He loves you, how much He appreciates you. Everything that Jesus did and is doing is for you. This whole thing is because God loves you, you know. Now He's trying to show that love to a whole bunch of other people through us. But we get so performance-oriented, trying to prove that we are something that we only are by grace. Amen. Can't add to it, can't increase it, can't improve on it, none. You're a son, you made it, you're in. By the blood of the Lamb. My Baptist daddy had that right. I mean, after I got really saved and Spirit-filled, turned on to God in 1980, the very next, within a week or two, he's up there at my dad's, and to be honest with you, I was a little concerned. Dad was sitting on the couch. I come through the busting through the front door. Hi, Ma. I wasn't worried about her. I went right over to the couch. First thing I said, Dad, how are you planning on getting to heaven? He said, by the blood of Jesus Christ and no other way. Right on, Dad. Hallelujah. He's got that part right. Hallelujah. Amen. Would to God we did. Quit letting the devil come and condemn you. And if you're the Son of God, do this and do that and prove. Show me something, boy. Show me something, you know. Which one of it? Which one out of the prodigal? The one that was messed up, and then the preppy one, the one working out in the fields all the time that never transgressed at any time. Which one's fellowship did the Father get to enjoy when it was all said and done? It was the prodigal that come home, just threw his arms around his daddy's neck. Now he'd messed up big time, messed up royally, took his inheritance and squandered it. I know none of you can relate to that. Felt like a sheep-eating dog. And he was practicing his speech on the way home. Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. He was practicing, you know. Thank God he had enough understanding of his Father to at least come again to that throne of grace. See, he had that much sense. And he gets there and he hardly gets started. The Lord won't even, his Father won't even let him finish that whole sentence. You know, he's been practicing it. Can't you see him walking back, you know, stinking of pig mud and, you know, probably a husk hanging out of his back pocket and, you know, corn stalk breath. Been eating, you know, eating the pig food, you know. I mean, he can't be a pretty sight. And he's coming back and I can see him walking down that trail, Father. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants, Father. I'm just not worthy. And he means it. That's how he feels. God, I have felt like that since I got saved. Now I can see him practicing and practicing. Let's just look at it real quick. Go over to Luke 15, I believe it is. Luke 15. I want you to see him practicing this thing. The Father, he will not have it. He will not have it. Yes. Yes, Luke 15. And we'll just start in verse 17 where the prodigal came to himself. He's been out there feeding the swine with husks. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him." Now see him practicing? Here's his speech. This is what I'm going to say. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now see, to me, I can see him practicing that speech. How many of y'all ever felt like you went home and you know there's a whooping waiting on you? You know, how many of you practice a little speech on the way home? Can any of my daughters, can I get a witness? Yes, I can get a witness over there. I can give a witness. I practice those speeches my own self. See, he's practicing. He's going, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned," you know. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him." Why? How did that happen? In my spirit, I can see it now. I can see it. You think the father, I don't care how long that son's been gone. Father, he's out on that front porch every day, several times a day, looking. Maybe my boy will come home. Maybe my boy will come home today. That's how he saw him afar off. He was looking. He was looking for his boy. Does a father love him? Even though he's been messed up, he's wallowed in the pigsty and squandered the inheritance, and the father hasn't heard from him at all. And still the father's going, "Maybe my boy will come home today. I'm looking for my boy. I love my son. Maybe my boy will come today." "But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran." That's God. Don't you see what Jesus is saying? Your father is abounding toward you. Oh, we just start approaching that throne and he gets up off of it and runs towards you. He's so glad you've come. Here we, the devil gets us thinking we're such slimy dog worms, we shouldn't even get in there. And the father's watching and he's looking and he sees you coming towards the throne. Look at the picture Jesus is painting. He's talking about the father. And it says the father, he rushed to meet him. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But now notice, that's as far as he got. The father, he wouldn't even hear the rest of it. See the rest of it, go up to verse 19. That's his practice speech. He's saying it word for word. "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Father stopped him before he even got that out of his mouth. Fathers are not looking for servants. Fathers are looking for sons. When I finally understood that about my earthly father, we began to have a relationship. He was not basing his love for me on my performance. What he really liked was a son that would just come and go fishing. A son that would just come and talk to him. Sit out on the front porch. Put together last time we was up there, we put together a wooden love seat thing. Father and son. I didn't do anything right, but it was okay. That doesn't matter. He loved that I was there. And we were fellowshipping together. Once my pride gets out of the way, he's always going to be my father. Dad, forgive me for telling this. Now I'm 52. My dad's 79. On that same trip, Sue and I and Mom and Dad went to Grove, Oklahoma, and Sue and Mom are in the store. Dad and I are out walking up and down the sidewalk in front of a strip mall, you know. Now, I mean, shopping center. I don't mean a stripping thing, you know. What they call a strip mall. shopping center. Jesus help me. Anyhow, Sue and Mom are in the store, and here's Dad and me. I'm 52 years old. Here's my dad. We're walking along. Well, they're going to be in there for a while. They got some dresses in there. That barber shop right there is open, boy. You need a haircut today. I'm 52 years old. But my dad's 79, going on 80, you know. And when Daddy says, boy, get a haircut, you gets a haircut. Now what's sad, they might as well have put a bowl over my head. How many of y'all noticed until about a week ago I was getting pretty shaggy? I had to let it grow out that long just to fix it. Oh my God, that little haircut that I got there. But the point is, that's my dad. He's always going to be my dad. He's always going to, you know, this way dads are. He's always going to know everything, and I ain't. I'm 52. I'm getting this figured out. If he lives to be 120 and I'm 79, he's still going to say, boy, you need a haircut. Need it today. And that's okay. It's my dad. See, so rather than me getting all offended or hurt or put out or like I used to with my relationship, my dad loves me. My dad loves me. I'm his heir. I'm his son. There's nothing my dad won't do for me. Well, no, there's nothing. Because I wouldn't ask him for stuff now. Anyway. that I shouldn't have so much. I mean, there was a time when I'd ask him for stuff, he wouldn't give it to me. I wanted a 2020 when I was about 8. You know, a rifle. I wanted a, you know, what do you call it, 22. I wanted a 22 rifle when I was about 8. My dad did not think that was a real good idea. Now, I thank God. I thank God he didn't give me a rifle when I was, you know, about 8 years old. Now, in certain parts of the country, while we have Wyoming people here, that may be normal. I don't know. They probably go hunting at 8. But around Tulsa, it isn't real smart. Okay? We're city boys here. Okay? But as I mature now, see what, and what's really, it's get, for really only the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, my fellowship with my earthly father. And it had to do more with me than him. But me be crossing over that 50 mark and starting to just settle down and understand I am who I am. You know, my dad is my dad and I'm his son, and that's the name of that tune. Gee, I wonder if I ought to get to know him a little bit. Wonder if he'd like it if I just come up and fellowship with him son. Wonder what he'd like to do. Maybe he just wants to go ride in the boat today. You know, we'll just ride around in the boat, whether catch any fish or not. Just ride around in the boat. The fellowship is what matters. See, and I'm finally understanding. So what if he thinks I need a haircut every time I go up there? And, you know, thinks I bought the wrong car or whatever. What? That's Dad, isn't it? That's the way dads are. That's got nothing to do with his love for me. I'm finally understanding that. I'm his son. I'm his heir. He loves me. He's for me. When I'm doing good and when I'm doing bad. Now, it doesn't mean he's real pleased. I tell my daughters, I used to tell them, especially when they were younger, and I said, well, because I was, you know, shaping them more then. They're pretty well shaped now. But I used to tell them, I say, listen, I love you girls. If you decide to become the Bonnie Parkers of our generation and become the best bank robbers in Oklahoma. Now, I will not approve of that in any wise. I will not approve of that, but it will in no wise change my love for you. Some of them nearly tested me to the limit. Does it matter what they do? I love them. I'm not always as pleased as I would be other times, but listen, the slightest little repentance, just come back. I mean, it's hugs and kisses and crying real quick. I run to meet them. They know that. They're not afraid. Our Heavenly Father wants us to have that same relationship with Him. Oh, we have got to get so completely out. You know, I'm seeing it more and more. The real power, the real works, it's the Father working through us. He can't work through us if we're always condemned. This whole thing works by faith, you know. You know what faith works by? Faith works by love. How's any love relationship developed? You spend time with the one you love. I'm going to close with, this is my first closing. Sue and I have been married for going on 24 years this year. Now ours has been a marriage where we live in the same house. There are marriages, like for convenience sake or for whatever reason, where they're legally married, but one of them, say the wife lives in Europe and the husband lives in the United States. Now they can correspond and they can have some relationship that way. And for 24 years they may be married legally. And they could learn certain things about each other. And they could even share some of the secrets of their hearts. You just can't convince me, though, that same kind of relationship, that they're going to wind up with the same kind of fellowship and relationship as two people married, living in the same house, through the good days, through the bad days. How's that go in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, till death do we part? That builds a relationship. That's the way our Father is with us. He's with you on the good days. See, we know it then, don't we? You're with me today. Everything's going good. Everything I touch is a blessing today. Hallelujah. You're with me, Father. What about that next day? Fender falls off the car. You're just driving down the road. Fender falls off the car. You run over the neighbor's cat. Back into a tree. You know? Get to work only to find out they laid you off. You know? I mean, you know, one of those kind of days. Do I need to go on? I don't know if you're with me today, Father. I just don't know. He's with you that day, too. See, and that's where we got to understand. It's not based on anything except relationship. He is our Father. We are His child. Now, you're tempted by the devil on this more than you know. Every single one of us is tempted more often than you realize on this sonship thing. He doesn't phrase it quite that same way, if thou be a son or if thou be a child of God. He usually phrases it like this. How could you be a son of God and do what you did? Or if you were a son, you would be doing this. It's the same temptation. He is attacking your sonship. And as soon as you get into performance, trying to prove your sonship, that's what he was trying to accomplish all the time. I say it one more time. Real power, real authority, and real anointing does not come by performance to prove your sonship. All of those things come by resting in your sonship. Jesus would not hearken to any of the words of the devil trying to get him into performance. He says, I know who I am. Everyone say, I know who I am. God is my Father. Jesus is my older brother. And I am a child of God. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is apparently going to be real important because I had a really good message. You'd like it. But, boy, he just took it away. Now, how would... And again, I see why he's moving on Dave so strong in that worship realm right now. And even what's going to be happening on Friday nights. It has to do with this very revelation. I'll share this part. Okay, 2 minutes. Y'all remember the mirror confessions that I taught on? Remember that? As you are, so am I in this world. A few times when I'm in prayer over the ugly building, and I'm going to say a few times. Now, I have done those for hours at a time. Y'all know me. I mean, I have done them for hours, for days and for weeks and for months, and now for years. But I, out of all those times, to be perfectly honest with you, I could probably count on one hand, certainly less than both, the number of times where my soul crossed into a different room. And suddenly I'm no longer confessing I am his son. Something happens and I step into a room where I am his son. It's fleeting. I have never been in there very long. Boy, that is a good room. I mean, when you're in that room, all things are possible. The closest I can describe it to you is when Dave was teaching a few months ago and he was talking. He had Rick Joyner's book, The Call, and he read that little passage where it talks about when the Father, describing the majesty of the Father. And it says, when the Father closes his eyes, the whole universe goes dark. If the Father moves, the universe trembles. It says everything about his throne was living. His robe was full of stars. His scepter was alive. Everything about him was alive. Y'all remember that? And then Dave says, and the Holy Spirit, all that time that you're spending in prayer with the Holy Spirit, what he's saying, that's your Father. Can you get it? No, I'm a worm. I'm a slime. Brad's going, I'm a worm, I'm a slime, I'm not worthy. That's your Father! All things are possible. Don't you get it yet? That's what Jesus knew, and that's what you got to know, Brad. That's your Father! You are His heir. All things are possible. That kind of worship, we're going to get in that room till our senses are baptized in it. Till we come out of there, I mean, have that same rock-solid foundation. I know who my Father is. And I know what He does through me. Satan, get thee behind me. I will worship the Lord my God. And Him only will I serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll just praise Him for a minute. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. You are our Father. We are Your children. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The work is finished. It's already done. We are accepted in the Beloved. We rejoice that our names are written in Your book of life, Father. We already made it. We're in. We are accepted. Oh, we love You, Father. We praise You. We glorify Your name. Hallelujah. 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 I feel a release in my spirit. That's what he wanted to say tonight. Brad?